You are watching the Hoop Central podcast right here on Spirit Live. Hey, how is it going, everyone? And welcome back to the Hoop Central podcast. It feels like each week it's like longer and longer, you know, we just love talking about basketball so much. But before we get into all the formalities and the introductions, you're listening to Hoop Central right here on Spirit Live, the best place for a different perspective when it comes to all things basketball, NBA, NCAA, and obviously the WNBA as well. Things feel a little bit better. You know, I can't lie to you. It's your boy Nakeem. I got alongside me Malik M3 as always, but it's the return. It feels like MJ coming back, putting on the 4-5. Oh my goodness.
I'm back. Woo!
Justin Pierce is back on the pod. Yeah. How does it feel, Justin, to be back? We missed you, bro.
Man, it's been such a long time. It's almost been 2 years since I've been on the pod.
That's crazy. That is insane.
But wow. Man, like, you know, we're living in a pandemic. We still are living in a pandemic. So it's been hard, but you know, things are opening up and I'm back on the podcast, man. I couldn't be happier.
Hey, we're glad to have you back. It's obviously been a tough year, so obviously different schedule conflictions and all those things, but hey, we've been trying to keep this strong. We still are waiting for the day we can get Stetson back and everyone. We got all four of us being able to talk to you. But Malik, how does it feel to have your boy back? This is the same guy who literally questions all of your takes. I bet it felt nice to be able to say some stuff freely for once, because you're gonna get swatted now.
Man, when I saw Justin enter the call, I got goosies, bro. I got goosebumps.
Wow.
I was like, ooh, wait, someone's gonna critique me. I'm excited. That's why I'm feeling fantastic. Three fantastic.
I'm coming for you, man. I'm coming for you. All of your takes are gonna get shot down. I'm coming for you.
Hey, just to let you guys know so you guys can visualize it. Basically, Malik is Andre Iguodala and Justin Pierce is LeBron James. So let's just say Let's keep it at that. But if we look back at last week's episode, we talked about some of the most disappointing teams in the NBA. And we tried to, you know what, let's lift things up a little bit and look at a more positive side and look at the most surprising, well, not teams, but surprising things that have come from this NBA season so far, as we are about roughly a month into the season. Malik, I know you're someone who is keeping up with basketball on a religious basis. I know this guy's a king when it comes to fantasy, but let's just jump right into it. What are some of your biggest surprises of the season so far?
All right, you know what? I'll start with one, and I'm going to start with one that's really unexpected, and it's someone that's come a long way since his time in Golden State, but I'm going Harrison Barnes as one of my biggest surprises of the year so far.
Not bad.
Averaging 21 points. You know, he had a tough game versus San Antonio, but his last seven games, he's averaging 20-plus, shooting good, 45% plus, averaging almost nine rebounds as a small four, which is really good. With the young, savvy Sacramento Kings team and 1.2 steals. So, you know, although the Sacramento team is up and down right now, Harrison Barnes seems really rejuvenated. And, you know, it reminds me of when he was in third year in Golden State when they made that finals run and how he fits the mold in Golden State. He fits the mold also in Sacramento as well. So, you know, originally I saw him as a trade piece, a huge trade piece for Sacramento to possibly get someone, a star or someone, or a cornerstone in the making. But he's making the case to stay, and you know, I'm really proud to say that Harrison Barnes has come a long way. The second option for De'Aaron Fox, 100%. So keep it short and simple. That's Harrison Barnes, my first pick for one of the biggest surprises of the year so far.
It's crazy to think about where they would be without Harrison Barnes, because De'Aaron Fox hasn't really had that jump that we all expected him to have this year. It's kind of been Ja Morant who's had that jump into superstar at an earlier rate than De'Aaron Fox, which is surprising because a lot of people don't credit De'Aaron Fox enough. This guy averaged 25 points a game last season. So I'm like, All right, you average 25. You've got to come in, probably at least average 26, 27 or up the assist. Just get your team winning. But they just haven't been winning, and that's why I gotta say fire Luke Walton. I don't know why he has a job. Get him out of there. I don't know why he's still working. Come on, they should have never fired Dave Yeager in the first place, but that's a whole discussion for another day.
Their number two pick that they picked a couple years back, Marvin Bagley, doesn't even play.
So insane to
Nakeem's point, what is Luke Walton even thinking? Not even playing your second overall pick. And the guys who came behind him too, it's like Luka and Trae Young.
Yeah.
You have to even just play him. You know, because it looks so bad that you passed up on those two great players. Damn. But Sacramento's a mess. I'm not as big on De'Aaron Fox as Nakeem is.
Woo!
I think he's not even an all-star. He can't be an all-star in the West. Come on. You got Dame, Steph, what, Chris Paul, Book. Speaking on Harrison Barnes, he's been surprising, but he should be a bit better for his team. 21 points per game, like you said, Malik, that's good, but come on, if you're the number one guy, I assume he's the number one guy, on your team, you have to do more. Right now they're sitting ninth in the Western Conference. I get it, the season's early, but they look like they're on pace to not make the playoffs again. And how many times do you have to lose for something to change? So I think Sacramento needs a full rebuild again. And, you know, it's sad to see. It's kind of like they're just like a revolving door, kind of like Orlando is, you know, just they have a mid first round pick or whatever. And then they draft someone that no one's even heard of.
I'm going to go into my surprise that I've had for this. One of my surprises for this season. I didn't want to go with some of the more mainstream ones. Obviously, Miles Bridges is up there. He's been amazing for the Hornets. I figured one of you might take him, so I was like, you know what, I'll stray away from it. Yes. But this, as I say that, I'm going with a mainstream answer. The Washington Wizards have really surprised me. And I mean, I didn't expect them to be this good, but that trade was such a win for them. I mean, not only did they just win it, they like won it with flying colors. And this is what I got to say about it. Frank Vogel, you're a good coach. I'm not going to discredit you. You're a good coach. But there's a reason why you're not a great coach. Y'all signed the reigning sixth man of the year on your team last year. And what did y'all do with him? Y'all had him rot on the bench and try to put him into a role that he doesn't
play. He racked up some DNPs, man. Just racking it up.
That doesn't make any sense. How do you have the reigning sixth man of the year in Montrezl Harrell and just not play him? Then he gets traded to Washington. And average, what does he do?
Average 20.
Wes Unseld Jr. is like, you know what, Montrez? We're going to let you play your brand of basketball whenever you come into the game, and you do what you do, and that's how we're going to get success. And that's what's happening. Montrez is doing Montrez. Bradley Beal is doing Bradley Beal. Kyle Kuzma is not having to take up that mantle. He's not living up to expectations that Laker fans put on him after his rookie season. They're saying, this guy's better than Jason Tatum. This guy's one of the best rookies in the class. And look what happened. Now when he gets put with LeBron, and LeBron, everyone knows, when LeBron plays with younger players, they become worse just because LeBron takes so much usage and he needs guys who are high basketball IQ players who don't require a lot of touches. That's just who LeBron is. So obviously young players are not going to be able to coexist with him. Only type of young players who are going to coexist with LeBron are stars solidified. Kyrie Irving is one that comes to mind right away. But if you look at all of LeBron's rosters when he's been to the finals, they've all had a lot of veteran heavy players. It hasn't been a lot of young up and coming stars, but Washington has really done a great job at just playing defense. They got depth, and I think that's a big thing in the East. When you look at some of the powerhouses like Brooklyn, Milwaukee, some of those teams don't really have that depth. Look at Brooklyn. They do got the star power, but when those guys aren't really hitting, don't really got anyone else to lift you up. But do I think Washington's gonna make noise in the East? Not at all. But I think what they're doing is putting them in a great position to retain Bradley Beal for the foreseeable future. Mm-hmm. And I think that's all that matters if you're in Washington, because you just want to stay competent. You want to make ticket sales. You want to be relevant. You don't want to lose Bradley Beal, because if you lose him, your franchise is gonna be in a tough situation for like the next 5 years. But I like what they're doing there. I like the coaching. I like it. I'm really surprised with them.
Yeah, they're competitive, but I mean, let's not act like Kuzma's the second coming of Jordan. Like, let's not do that, Nikki. Come on. I mean, Kuzma's a good player, but
hey, he made the game winner against Cleveland the other night. He's got the clutch G. Yeah. You know who else made a game winner against Cleveland?
Who?
Michael Jordan.
Oh, hey. Wow. Okay, wow. Now, okay, we're comparing Michael Jordan and Kyle Kuzma. Wow, okay. This is where this podcast has come to. We're comparing Michael Jordan to Kyle Kuzma. No, but seriously, though. The Wizards have been surprising. I think, obviously, Unseld Jr. deserves credit. But I think the credit goes to Brad Beal, man. He was willing to stay and be loyal to Washington. I have no idea why, but he seems to he seems to like it there. I guess his family seems to like it there. But with the Wizards, man, they're not going to go anywhere. Like, are we expecting them to make the playoffs? I'm not. They're sitting first in the East right now, but I mean, do we expect them to be a force in the East? Are they going to beat Miami? Are they going to beat Brooklyn, Philly? Hell, are they going to beat Toronto?
Hey, they're going to be a first round exit in my opinion.
Probably not. Exactly. So Washington's going to be in the basement, man. Come on, let's all be real. let's be real. They don't have they have a star in Beal, of course, but they don't have a second guy. I get it. Harrell's a good player, but are you gonna win with Montrezl Harrell as your second best player?
No, absolutely. And, you know, Washington reminds me of the Raptors when it comes to, you know, depth and bench, because it's not a negative problem. It's a positive problem. You have Dale Gafford just coming out of injury. You have Thomas Bryant coming back in December. And you're going to have Rui Hachimura. He's ramping up activities in the next 2 weeks. So that is a lot of depth to take. And Wes Unseld has to decide what his starting unit is, what his bench unit is, and what his finishing unit is in the fourth quarter. So there's going to be a lot of decision-making. And, you know, a connection with Justin is they might have to make a trade, but not for the reasons to dump players. It's for the reasons that they kind of have to dump minutes off, maybe get some veteran presence so then they have experience in the playoffs. Because you have to decide who's your starting center, Thomas Bryant or Montrezl Harrell. You got to decide if you want to keep Kuzma in the starting five, or you're going to have Hachimura back in and Kuzma off the bench. Because we know that Kuzma off the bench is almost like Gary Trent. They both struggle off the bench. So I really think that Washington has a positive problem. Are they going to keep it up? I'm in agreement with you guys. I do not think they'll keep it up at all. But you never know. Right now, this is a Cinderella story. Mr. Bradley Beal, BB, he's doing his thing. The key is to maintain stability and health, because Dinwiddie is an injury-prone player. Montrezl Harrell has been through his woes, ups and downs. Thomas Bryant, Rui Hachimura are injury-prone players. So the key is health. But looking at the squad, this is one of the deepest squads, for sure, in the East. So, you know, I expect them to be almost in the middle.
It's a toss-up for me. It's between... screw it. I'll go with the New York Knicks. Here we go. Mecca, New York. The Knicks. I get it. They were pretty good last year. They're 7-5 this year. But mark my words, the New York Knicks will make it to the second round of the NBA playoffs.
You think they're going to make it past?
New York Knicks are making it to the second round of the NBA playoffs, and I'll tell you why.
Let's hear it.
Coaching. Tom Thibodeau, in my opinion, is a top five coach in the NBA. Minnesota should be ashamed of themselves for letting him go. That was Wiggins and Kat's fault. They should be held accountable for that.
And Butler was on that team with them too, right?
Yeah, Butler. Yeah, we all know what happened with Butler. But we all know what happened there. But seriously, though, the New York Knicks, they have everything. They have their star player, Julius Randle. They got their secondary scorers in RJ Barrett, Derrick Rose.
They're a deep
Evan
team.
Fournier. They're a well-balanced team. And what do they play? They play defense. They get on you. Thibodeau preaches defense. They're on you. And I get it. They've lost a couple games, man. They're on a one-game losing streak. But they've lost a couple of games they probably should have won. But, you know, once that comes with gelling. And the more we see of the Knicks, the more they'll win. And I honestly believe that Julius Randle will average 25 points per game this year. And he's going to carry the New York Knicks and all of their crazy fans, as we see outside of the games.
They're insane. They overreact to the max.
Oh, after the first game against Boston, you would have thought they won the NBA championship. That's how hyped they were.
Yep.
Indiana's a decent team, but the Knicks are considerably better than Indiana. Mm-hmm. And they lost to the Raptors, who I think that they're better than. So,
hey, I bet as a Knicks fan, I bet you're really enjoying RJ Barrett's productivity right now.
I wouldn't even consider myself a Knicks fan. But RJ Barrett is playing better. I don't think he's as good as people portray him as, just in terms of being, you know, where he was drafted. I think Zion and Ja Morant have kind of run away with that class. But again, RJ Barrett is playing great. And, you know, I'm excited to see what he does. I think he needs to score a bit more. I mean, at least shoot a better percentage and just score a bit more, maybe 5 or 8 points more. But, you know, he's growing into his body. He's still a young kid, right? What is he, like 20 years old or whatever?
Yeah.
So, you know, we need more from you, RJ. We need more from you. But, you know, the Knicks are on the uprise, and it's good to see. It's good for basketball when the Knicks are good.
Yeah, I got to agree with the RJ thing. One thing I got to say, RJ's become a great defender out of nowhere. Absolutely. Which has really helped them. And you know why that is? As Justin said, they got a coach that makes you buy into defense in Tom Thibodeau. If there was any other coach, I doubt RJ would be climbing up the way he is. But I said this before, when it comes to the Knicks, I believe the Knicks should have won that series. I thought they were the better team than Atlanta. Sometimes the better team doesn't win, and that's really just came down to Julius Randle just didn't show up in the playoffs. And what happened? When he didn't show up, you didn't have anyone else who could score. What did they do in free agency? They got scorers. They got Evan Fournier. They got Kemba Walker. They got guys who can relieve that pressure. And now what do you see happening? Although as the record is 7-5, it could easily be, they could easily be double digits in wins. They could easily be, but I like what they got going. They got a good blend of defense. They got a good blend of youth and veterans, you know, Obi Toppin, Emmanuel Quickley. Those are bench players who are getting rotational minutes. They're getting shine coming in. And that's one thing that's crazy, because Tom Thibodeau is known as a coach who does not play young players. I mean, he refuses to play young players. I remember Jimmy Butler said it was a struggle to even talk to Tom Thibodeau about getting playing time during his rookie year, because you got to earn it. And those guys are earning it. And I love the culture that's being built in New York. They're finally a team where it's not like they're the laughing stock of the NBA anymore. They're actually respectable. And I agree, they're much better than Atlanta. I feel like they could easily go to the second round. And once you get to the second round, depending on the matchup, anything is possible.
You and the team agreed that Atlanta will be worse than New York.
Yeah.
Fun fact. Let me tell you this, buddy.
They're not going to make the playoffs.
When Nakeem and I did our Eastern Conference standings, I had New York at number 4. Nakeem remembers this. I had New York at number 4. Guess what I had number 3? Atlanta Hawks.
He had the Hawks at number 3.
Yeah. See, I don't know. Like, what are you thinking? Atlanta at number 3? Come on.
Anyone that's ran with me?
Malik had the Miami Heat at number 6.
Yeah, see, but like, what are you doing? Come on, man.
We will see what happens in the Eastern Conference standings, because my Atlanta Hawks, they're going 3rd and Knicks are going 4th.
Oh my god.
And you just watch and see. Remember what you said with Utah and Denver? You said nope, Malik, nope. And guess what happened? Utah first place, like I said.
he's gonna stand on that mountain.
Oh no, I forgot about that.
But going into one of my other biggest surprises of the year, I'm just going through my list. You know, I'm even surprised I'm seeing this name. But for my biggest surprises, I wonder if Justin would like this. I got the Cleveland Cavaliers.
That's one of my biggest
surprises.
Oh, no.
There you go. Man, no one could look right now and say, man, Cleveland sucks, because surprisingly they don't right now. This is what we were saying last year. We were saying last year Cleveland sucks, but this year the Colin Sexton injury will really hurt them. Torn meniscus, out for the foreseeable future. However, Darius Garland has taken a leap. Evan Mobley looks like he's league ready. Jared Allen is taking a big leap. But anyways, I know you guys want to talk about Rubio anyway. So yeah, Ricky Rubio just fills in the void for Colin Sexton. Right now, even if Colin Sexton was playing, Rubio had that, you know, sixth man kind of energy right now. Not saying he's going to win sixth man of the year, but saying that, you know, he's solidifying that role and he's making it his own. And, you know, he's an assist machine. He reminds me of, you know, Ricky Rubio. I just said Rookie Rubio. I'm playing with my words. But anyways, I'll let you guys talk about the Cavaliers. So what do you guys think?
They're really good. Well, not really good. I'll say they're good. They're better than I thought they would be. One thing I got to say, Evan Mobley, at first I was like, nothing against him at all. I thought he was going to be great from the jump. But I just thought being drafted into the Cleveland, and they have Jared Allen already there, and then I don't know about their development and everything.
I forgot to mention marketing. He's doing good too, but he's out right now.
Yeah,
out right now.
But he got placed in the perfect situation just because he's got two point guards who are really good at passing the ball to set up their teammates. Him having Ricky Rubio and Darius Garland is only going to further his development in his early years. And I'm actually so glad to see it, because look at that game against the Knicks. We're talking about the Knicks, and they lost to the Cavaliers. That's another team they shouldn't have lost to. But they lost to a Cavaliers team where Ricky Rubio dropped 37 points on, what was it, 8 of 9 shooting from 3?
The double-double. And
that will never happen ever again.
They beat the Raptors, then they go the next day to beat the Knicks.
And Evan Mobley dropped, what, 26 points in that game as well. So Cleveland is actually looking kind of nice. They're actually building something. I know there's some teams that have been rebuilding for a long time looking at Cleveland like, dang, we were supposed to be this like 3 years ago and they already got this. Damn, what are we doing wrong?
Hey,
Sacramento. I'm actually liking what they're, I like what they're doing, and they got a good coach for development, JB Bickerstaff. He's known as a guy who helps develop players,
very, very underrated,
but he's just one of those coaches where he'll help develop you, but then you got to get rid of him to actually get over the hump. You know what I mean? Like, we've seen coaches like Mark Jackson was great at development, but then you needed a Steve Kerr to come in and actually elevate you to that status. So,
Mr. Kerr,
Doesn't it seem like every time a coach gets fired, JB Bickerstaff is named the interim?
My goodness, I don't know why he's always there.
Yo, this why. Yo, this why this guy has experience throughout the majority of the league, because he's been an interim coach. He's been in and out of more than one environment. So he knows what's up.
Thing. We all thought they'd be the lonely Cavaliers, right? Just waiting for LeBron to come back. But they're building something. I don't know, you know, if it's going to be playoff worthy. I don't know. What's his name? Colin Sexton went down, so that's going to hurt them for a little bit.
Okoro's going to have to really step up. And he's probably been the most disappointing out of the Cavs roster for sure, because his numbers don't reflect how he did in college. Right. So he's going to have to really step up. And this is his time to shine, or else it's decision time for Cavs if they want to extend him or not.
That remains to be seen, but I'm gonna give you my my sleeper, my second pick.
Let's hear it.
This one you guys will know very well. You know, he's very familiar with Canada and the Raptors, but it's Mr. Pump Fake himself, Jonas Valanciunas.
Yes,
from the New Orleans Pelicans, averaging 20 points and 14 rebounds.
Oh my goodness,
who saw that coming? I know it's for a bad team. Of course, they're 1-10, and they're not going to go anywhere anytime soon, even with Zion. But Jonas Valanciunas is balling right now.
He is a Lithuanian lightning.
Look, if the All-Star game came around tomorrow, he would be named to that team. 20 points and 14 rebounds, that does it for you. Good team, bad team, doesn't matter. Those are good enough numbers to make the All-Star team. So he is playing out of his mind. I get it. Again, it's for a really bad team. But you know, we have to give him his flowers, right? He's playing phenomenal. And I do wish that they would get Zion back just to see how they would look together. Yeah. They probably wouldn't look good, to be honest with you.
That space would be horrendous.
Yeah, they probably wouldn't look good, but we want to see Zion on the court. So, but
Jonas, one thing I got to say, sorry to cut you off, but if one of them misses a shot in the paint, they are getting that rebound. Like with Zion and Valanciunas, going for that offensive glass, oh my goodness, they're gonna be literally tapping it to themselves off the rim, just going back.
They'll be just stacking up those fantasy ball stats right there, bro.
Literally, too bad they can't win a game though. You know,
bro. This is tough though, because you know, obviously Zion's been out, Brandon Ingram's been out, but it's like, what do you do with this team from this point on? Because like, even though they've been out without Zion and Brandon Ingram, you should not be 1-10. Like you should not. You're literally the worst team in the NBA. You're worse than the Rockets.
I want to get your guys' thoughts on David Griffin for a quick sec.
They're not even letting John Wall play in Houston. But yeah, sorry.
Exactly. I think David Griffin's a really good GM. I think he did a great job with the Anthony Davis trade. A quick 2 cents on it.
Yeah.
But I don't really got anything else. I think he's a really good GM. It's just that he needs to make some decisions a little bit quicker. You know, be more decisive.
The Bledsoe trade. The Bledsoe trade was tough.
I mean, let's be real. When he was in Cleveland, LeBron was the GM. Stop it, Nakeem. Stop it.
I'm talking about when he's in the New Orleans.
No, I hear you. Stop it. So what he's doing in New Orleans, not doing. He hasn't done jack. Look,
LeBron.
Hey, he got. Well, obviously the first pick.
Drafting Zion. Congratulations, you had the first pick.
First pick landed to them. They got Brandon Ingram. They got Lonzo. Fourth overall pick. Nice. Traded that to get, I don't know what they got in that Atlanta trade, but they have a lot of picks.
Letting Lonzo walk is tough.
But that's nice that we brought up Lonzo, because going into my second surprise, it is Lonzo Ball.
That's a nice one.
Lonzo Ball has really surprised me. And I was never someone who was overly high on Lonzo, but I always thought that he had the potential. I just didn't want to buy into it because LaVar annoyed me at the time. And then I realized that he's actually a really great dad. And I was just like, just getting involved with the whole talking that he was doing. But
yeah.
He's an example of how much confidence can change a player. I mean, he is playing with so much confidence that, and I think it's also being in a situation that's actually stable. You know, if you look at the New Orleans Pelicans, every year that Zion has been on that team, they've had a new coach, which that is not a great trend to have. And the same thing has followed suit with Lonzo. He's had Luke Walton those few years in the Lakers. Then obviously when he came to New Orleans, he had a different coach, Alvin Gentry, and then they had Stan Van Gundy. But now you got Billy Donovan, you got some veterans, and DeMar DeRozan. Alex Caruso brings that championship pedigree. You got a good scorer in Zach LaVine. He is that one player that just fits and brings everyone together. His ball, his playmaking, the way he's able to defend has been on full display. We've all known he's been a good defender, but now playing in Chicago, which is a big market, we're all seeing it to the fullest extent. And I'm actually liking how he plays. He probably will never be as good as his younger brother. I think that's fair to say. But I think we gotta, he's a one of those players you just gotta throw away those expectations and just accept it for who he is. And that is a great playmaker, a great general to have at that point guard position. And he's arguably the biggest reason as to why Chicago is where they are right now. Arguably, I'm not saying he is, but arguably. But yeah, he's
can I interject here?
Let's hear it.
That was terrible, man. Come on.
Terrible? Let me hear why.
Expectations matter. And when he was drafted by the Lakers,
That's Magic Johnson's fault.
He was deemed to be the next Magic Johnson. We're going to compare him to Magic Johnson. Is he Magic Johnson? Is he?
Oh, my God. Bro.
He can even shine Magic Johnson's shoes. Isn't he a pass first point guard? Isn't that what he's dubbed as?
Hey, he was, and now he's a defensive-minded stopper. On. He's locked down.
Man, you know
Cody
what?
Allen who?
Man, you know. Okay. Nakeem's pick. I will take Nakeem's side on this one a little bit more, to be honest.
What? What are you talking about?
I do, Justin. He is in a position where he's the number four scorer on the team, let alone number five, because Kobe White will come in soon, and I think he'll be back. And you know, Kobe White is an ISO player; he might take his mids. So, you know, I do agree with you that maybe just that Lonzo should get involved in his offense a little bit more. But I guess he's playing the role of an offensive distributor. So exactly. You're right; he is playing the fast pass first position right now. But his goal is to make DeRozan better off the dribble and open space up for LaVine, because he could be a space creator if he wants to as well, because he is tall and you could feed off positions and mismatches as well, depending on who's guarding who.
All right, you know what, Justin? Well, we'll revisit this conversation.
We have to, because you're talking nonsense.
Oh, my goodness. See, he's our, ladies and gentlemen, he's come back on the show and he doesn't know how to act anymore.
Oh, my gosh. So, you guys are unbelievable.
We'll give him some time to, you know, come back to his senses.
Justin, can I have your autograph?
No, I can't.
That was so random.
Oh man,
Justin, I guess on the next analyst show replacing Skip Bayless. Yep.
Me? No, man, I can't.
Putting you on tier of Skip Bayless. That's a
Skip's a legend, man. I can't.
Justin's better than Skip Bayless.
Hey, Justin is a Young and Dundas legend himself.
Stop it.
Hey, don't worry. Once we get this podcast up and running even more and we develop an after show, y'all will hear why he's a legend of Young and Dundas.
He owns that street. It just says JP, like encrypted it, indented in the sidewalk.
I just do what I do. That's all.
Before we expose this man, because we're only supposed to be talking about basketball. Hope you all enjoyed this this week's episode of the Hoop Central podcast. If you all want to reach us, you can reach us, myself, Nakeem Khan on Instagram. Malik, tell them how they can reach you.
Yes, sir. You can reach me at MalikM32001. I know it's a weird username because it has my year in it, but that's my year. A lot of numbers. It's very complicated. Justin, how can they reach you, bro? Who's your biggest fan?
Simple. _ Justin Pierce _. That's where you'll find me.
Keep it nice and simple. Keep it nice and simple.
Hey, I can't lie. That's very professional. Profesh.
Oh, appreciate it.
He's gassing you. But we shall see. We shall be back next week where you'll hear us again with some more interesting topics and probably some banter like you heard this past episode. But it's been your boy Nakeem.
It's been your boy Malik.
Justin signing off.
And you've listened to the Hoop Central podcast right here on Spirit Life.
Boom.